I want to speak to you just personally tonight. We're gonna do something unusual tonight. We're gonna have communion tonight. But I want to read something to you because I want to finish something off. And it dovetails into where we're at tonight with our communion. And we're gonna do the last installment. And I want you to be thinking tonight about your faith, your life on faith. We've been talking about it on Wednesday nights. And I am not a prophet, but I can tell you right now that I have no doubt whatsoever that what I'm about to say is a fact. And that is that every day that you and I get up as believers, we're going to be called upon more every day that we wake up to live our life on faith. Somebody asked me recently, what would happen if a nuclear bomb went off over the United States? You know, a nuclear bomb detonated in the atmosphere high up is really an EMP. An electromagnetic pulse bomb would literally send us back 500 years to 1,000 years. No technologies would survive. And you and I would be reduced to candles and hunting. And that's how we would survive. There'll be no water. There'll be no electricity. It would be the unthinkable. The only way that you survive such a thing, even if you physically do not survive, is faith. Listen, our faith doesn't die should we die. Our faith doesn't die when our mom dies or our dad dies or our kids die or our wife or husbands or our best friends die. Our faith doesn't die. Faith is what we've placed our trust in Christ, and that faith is all focused on Christ himself. It's not the faith, you know this, it's him that we put our faith in. We don't put our faith in any longer, and if we have, we were wrong, our own military to protect us, our own government to protect us. We don't, it's clear, it's obvious to the world, it's certainly obvious to Americans that we no longer should be placing our faith anywhere else but in God Almighty and in him alone. And as the days progress, I believe more and more of that reality is going to prove to be true. And so on the screen, I'll read it all, but we're going to wrap it up tonight and then we'll have communion. But we'll keep the lights nice and low. You guys just listen in. Hebrews chapter 11 on the screens, I'll read it. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Put yourself in their shoes. What would you have done if God told you, I want you to walk around Jericho for 7 days and be silent? I don't want you to make a peep, by the way. He told them, not a sound. Walk around for 7 days silently. Would you have obeyed? By faith, the harlot, Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Would you have done what Rahab did? Would you recognize that the God of Israel is routing all of their enemies and that God is for Israel? This Gentile, Rahab, she understood that. She recognized that. I'm curious tonight, how many Iranians are realizing, how many Iranian military personnel in Tehran are realizing something's up? We launched over nearly 200 rockets. Ballistic missiles. And not one Jew's dead. What? Listen, I pray for the Iranian people. Listen, Rahab was a Gentile. And she told those spies, we know that God is with you. Your God is mighty. So by faith she hid them. And what more shall we say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. Notice, the faith didn't subdue kingdoms. The kingdoms were subdued because the faith they had in God, they obeyed him and God led them and they followed him, and how they followed him was by faith. I want to make this really clear. Do not trust in faith, but trust in Him who is mighty to save. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness. That's what we're doing now in your life being lived out. You're working righteousness. You're obtaining the promises. Every time you hear a Bible study, every time you read your Bible, every time you read an encouraging word out of God's scriptures, they're promises. That kind of power in your life will result in lions' mouths being closed. Just ask Daniel. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong. I don't understand it. I said it before. As Christians, we get to revel in our weaknesses. I don't know how to define that. I can't even explain it to you. I just know it's true. I'm a terrible Bible teacher. I can't even tell you how this works. Just that when I have been at my weakness, God has brought His great strength. Cheer up. Are you weak? Be encouraged. Are you saying, I can't go on anymore? This is when God shows up in great power in your life. Paul the Apostle knew this. He suffered and suffered and then suffered again. And then he came to that point when he said, God, if me suffering through this is better for me, then grant me the grace to endure this pain. And Paul said, I sought God 3 times and He didn't heal me. So you know what Paul did? I leave it with You, Lord. I will live the rest of my life suffering if it keeps me close to You. Church family, we want to be so used by God that if we need to suffer to keep close so that He can use us, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to trust Him enough to love you so much, to be so convinced of His love that when He says, Susie, Bill, Mike, Freddie, whoever you are, I want to use you. But here's the deal. I want to keep you usable. So as I'm using you, you're going to have these weaknesses. But I'm going to use you. In fact, I can't use you because I know you. If you don't suffer these weaknesses, it's all going to go to your head and you're going to lose your way. Are you willing? Do you want to be used? Yes, Lord, I want to be used. Are you accepting the terms that if you come and surrender to me, that I will be the Lord of your life? I'm Savior, but I'll be the Lord. And I'll use you. But just know this. I want you to stay close to me. Because we're going to go places that you could never have imagined. We're going to do things that will shake the actual foundations of hell. And if that's okay with you, it's going to also have to entail that you have some form of suffering. Do you trust Him enough to let Him define what that is in your life? I want to beg you tonight, please trust Him with the level, because He won't let you go one iota, one inch, one millimeter beyond what is necessary to keep you usable. He will never punish you. He will never torture you. He'll never hurt you. But in this life, you and I, listen, because we're fallen, when God uses us, if He's not allowed to gut us from time to time, our heads will get big. Listen, Christians, none of us are immune to a swollen head. And I don't mean from getting hit in the head. Pride will hit us in the head. And God is saying, through these difficulties, I want to work with you. Hang on to my promises. But one thing is absolutely certain. I will be strong in your weakness. And I'm good with that. I think God is calling us to be radicals for Him. Radicals, how dare you say that? Radicals, oh, I don't want to be a radical. Yeah, just calm down, hang on a second. Read your Bible. If we were radical, we would be just like Jesus. That's what I mean by radical. We think of the word radical, we think about blowing people up and blowing up airplanes and cutting off heads. No, I'm talking about radical Jesus style. Radical Jesus style is loving your enemies, doing good, and living out the will of God. He's amazing. You'll become strong. You become valiant in battle. And look, they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. God did that through them. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not escaping deliverance. This is amazing. They were tortured, not accepting deliverance. It means that they were going to be tortured. They were told they were going to be tortured. And they were told, you can be free from being tortured if you just recant. Just say that Jesus isn't Lord. Or turn on your God. Worship Astaroth, or worship Baal, or worship Moloch. Just denounce the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Denounce Yahweh. And you'll go free. Isn't that what the Roman Empire said to the Christians? Just say Caesar is Lord, and you'll go, you won't perish. And what do the Christians say? No, I can't. I mentioned Sunday. You should get it if you don't have it. Foxes, I think it's Foxes, right? Is that how you spell his name? Fox's Book of Martyrs. You got to read it. It's incredible. Real accounts, eyewitness accounts. For hundreds of years of Christians who could not deny their faith because God had been so real to them. Listen, friends, listen. Don't you want to have God be so real to you now that when the day of persecution or tribulation comes to your life, you want to be able to say, gosh, I mean, I'm not thrilled about being a martyr right now, but I got news for you. I can't deny him. He's overwhelmingly proven himself faithful to me. Don't you want to live like that? Listen, because listen, if you've not had your life proven with him, then I don't know and you don't know how you're going to act in that day of trial. A ship is awesome on the sea. Not too long ago, Lisa and I, with a bunch of friends, well, family and some friends, we went on a cruise. And big ship, 1,800 feet long. That's big. And we were out in the Pacific. That's big. An ocean liner on the sea is awesome. The sea inside an ocean liner is not good. There's a big difference. Our faith, focused on Christ, takes us through a world of trouble. And listen, the trouble never gets inside of us. We're like a ship on the sea. We're safe, we're protected, because that's what it was built for. And this world, my friend, you need to be encouraged. With all that's going on, with all that's going to go on, Christ hasn't forgotten you. I want you to think about this. Your child having cancer, God knows this. He didn't cause it. If you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at Adam and Eve. Or you can get mad at Satan. But don't get mad at God. But I will tell you this, in that suffering, God will do a work in your life that cannot be bought. You can't get a degree. You can't go to a university. You can't pay for it. Nobody, listen, Bill Gates can't buy it. Steve Jobs could have bought anything in the world at any time. He couldn't buy himself out of cancer. And he's in eternity tonight. Where only God knows. Where only God and Steve Jobs knows. What about you? What about me? These things were written for our encouragement, everybody. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Awesome. Verse 36, still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Just deny Christ. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Wow. Now, of course, this is, I believe, it's not important, but I believe this is Paul writing this, the book of Hebrews. It doesn't matter. But I know this, that Paul died in Rome. You can go to the Mamertine prison in Rome where Paul spent his last night before he was beheaded in Rome. It's there. It's an archaeological tourist site. And all he had to do was say, Jesus is not the Lord, Caesar's the Lord, and they would have spared him. He couldn't do that. Peter, according to church history, was crucified upside down. They were going to crucify Peter, according to church history, but Peter said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. Is that true or not? We don't know. It's written in secular writings. But if tonight you're not a Christian, or you think it's a joke to be a Christian, how is it that the founding fathers of Christianity, following Jesus leaves them to go back to heaven? They're alone. And any of them at any time could have said, okay, it's been a complete joke to spare your own life. You would say, oh, wait, we were just kidding. Not a single one of them. All of them died for their faith. It's no hoax. No. They were stoned. That's with rocks, people. In California, you have to qualify that statement. The word stoned is rocks thrown at them. They were sawn in two. Did you know that we understand from Jewish history that Isaiah, the great prophet, was sawn in half? Did you know that? A man living in total opulence, best friend of the king, living in the palace in Jerusalem, winds up in the end of his life, having served God faithfully, is pulled into a log, a hollowed out log. They pulled him into a hollowed out log. And then back in those days, saws were made out of either stone, rarely metal, or wood. Hardwood, like they would use like an oak. And they would pull you into a pine log, hollowed out, or a cedar log, hollowed out. They'd pull you in, and then they would cut the log in half. That's what happened to your beautiful Isaiah in the Bible. He was cut in half. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. This is talking about absolute depravity. Poverty. Absolute poverty. What does that mean? Just those two descriptions. They wandered. Number one, three descriptions. They wandered about. They had no place to go. They became Christians. Are you guys hearing me? They became Christians and lost it all. Everything this world had to give them was gone from them. Listen. Moses had it all in Egypt. All of it was his. Moses gave it up. Wanderers. You could use the word pilgrims, same meaning. They had nothing. They went out looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Do you ever feel like you don't belong here in this world? I'm a wanderer. But the Bible here tells us that these wanderers, they were so poor that they had to use animal skins for clothing, stripped of everything. Isn't it amazing? In this world, they wore animal skins, but at the exact same time, their citizenship was in heaven and they were clothed in the righteousness of God. Amen. It was said of George Whitefield that he loved the world that hated him. George Whitefield loved souls that were lost. He loved them. But that very same world that he loved hated him back. That's what we can expect as believers. Being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. I love the Bible. Verse 38 says the world. Listen, Christian, and I want to live up to this. I want to be this person of verse 38. I want to follow Jesus to the degree that the world is not worthy. I know this sounds crazy, listen, but I think you'll forgive me in advance. I want to live for him in such a way that I can agree with verse 38, or somebody else could agree with verse 38 about my life, and I pray your life, that the world was not worthy of us. Not because we're something. Oh no, we followed him who is everything. That in this life, in this world of ours, there are things that you and I are supposed to be committed to the point of death. Call it a maybe soldier taking an oath to uphold the Constitution, which is the same oath, tragically, that a politician will say, I take this oath to uphold the Constitution. I don't know. Nobody knows until you're called upon to prove it. And when it's proven, then it's for all to see. Just had a book sent off to the publisher, and I don't know when it's going to come out, but it's something like Stand Bold or Bold Faith. We're arguing over the title of the book. But the book ends, I thought it would be appropriate that the book would end with the life story of U.S. Navy SEAL Michael Mansour. Anybody remember Michael Mansour? And there was a little bit of inspiration as to why I would put him at the end of the book, because I saw the ship that is named after him. But I'd mentioned to you guys before his willingness to lay down his life. Why? Because listen, whatever this world can promise you and I, whatever it is, you know it's only as good as this world lasts or as long as you last in it. You're not taking it anywhere. My poor, poor children. If Lisa and I die tonight, all they get from us is a couple of scraps that we put in our will. Are you hearing me? See, what do you mean? Well, we've lived a long time. We're not stupid. We didn't blow our money. We saved it up. So when we die, they get to have it. Oh, lucky them! No, not lucky them. What is it? What is that? Is that some sort of, your ship's arrived. You won the lottery. No. There's only one thing you can send up in an investment into eternity, and those are spiritual things. You think my stock in Boeing's going to help them now? That ain't going over very well. Oh, but what you invest that has eternal consequence, no one can take that from you. You get a little excited about making a deposit. Think about it. Living for this world, we go and we make a deposit at the bank. Maybe I'm just talking about, listen, before I was a Christian, and for several years after, God had to rip this out of my life. If I had 10 bucks in my pocket, I would spend it. But if I started to have $10 each day in my pocket, I wouldn't spend a penny. I would run down to the, I was such a freak at the age of 18 years old, I'd go down to the bank and I'd drive to the bank to put $5 in the bank so I could see my balance, and now it's bigger. And listen, you know what happened to me? I started hoarding. And so when I had, so to speak, $2, I would, you know, get a steak at the Sizzler. But when I had $100, I would eat a taco at Taco Bell. Why? Because mammon began to be my God. Are you tracking with me? And what would it have accomplished in my life if I would have gained the entire world to lose my own soul? Some of you might be living for things. Oh, if I just, listen, years ago, I remember Pastor Chuck telling this 40 years ago at church, Costa Mesa, that he knew a friend in Costa Mesa that worked so hard. And the man's wife, she told Pastor Chuck, my husband works too hard. He's never home. He's always at the office. So Chuck said, you need to back off, man. You need to slow down. Your wife said, you're always at the office. Chuck, it's good. Just as soon as I make my first million, I'll be able to relax. That was his answer. He made a million. The wife said, he's still at the office. Then he made another million. And then another million. And Chuck told the story at the end. I think, if I remember right, and I think I do, the guy was worth like $14 million back there 40 years ago. That's a quadrillion dollars back then. And the guy couldn't stop. Who was his Lord? Who was his God? You spend time with your God. Hebrews 11 is telling us that God is our God and that nothing that we can experience in this world can rob his love from us. But at the same time, you and I can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven by doing his will. And so the richest man in all of the world without Christ has got to be the biggest fool in hell. To have all those resources and to miss heaven. Wow. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these having obtained a good testimony through faith. Wow. Did not receive the promise. What does that mean? It means they did all of that, and they are, listen, they obtained a good testimony. They got a good witness. They're in heaven. They're a great cloud of witnesses up there. That's who they are. They accomplished that through faith in the Lord. They did not receive the promise, meaning this, they have to wait for us. Did you know that? They're waiting for us. Every generation, they're waiting. And then look, if you die tonight and you go and be with the Lord, you're waiting, you're living, verse 39. Until God's plan lives out. You're in heaven with him. But to obtain the promise is the consummation of God's redemption. And that happens with the entire family coming together in heaven above. I love that. When Stephen was being stoned to death, the Bible tells us he saw heaven opened up and Jesus stood up to receive him into the kingdom. Wow. Think of that. I love that. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made complete or perfect apart from us. There's a reunion coming with people that you and I have never met, most of them anyway. I'll meet my mom, my dad, my sister. I know they're there. But I can't wait to meet people. I think God is going to allow you and I to have a divine ability to have incredible curiosity. We're going to go to people we've never seen before. Now look, there's going to be obvious people. There's going to be obvious people. You're going to know. The Bible says that we, listen, the Bible says as we are known by Christ, we will know. Think of that. We're going to get that. Somebody asked Dr. Ironside, H.A. Ironside. Dr. Ironside, will I know you when I get to heaven? And Ironside said, why would you be any less educated than you are now? Well, I love astronomy, or I love biology, or I love... Well, why would you be any less than that? Nobody's going to be walking around heaven dumb about what's going on. What's that? What's that? What's happening over there? Can you tell me what's going on? You will know. And so when Noah walks by, I don't think Noah's going to walk by with a... No one's going to have a name tag. You ever go to those events? I am... Oh, there's events you have to go to. You have to go to them. You're expected to be there. I'm expected to be there? Yeah, you got to go. Really? So listen, I really doubt that a lot because when I get there, I have to put a name tag on. Am I the only one seeing the contradiction in that? You've got to be there, you know. People are expecting you. Then why wear the name tag? In fact, I could have hired somebody to wear Jack if I have to wear a name tag and I'm expected to be there, but I have to wear the name tag for them to recognize me, then I can rent somebody to go walk around wearing my name tag. Heaven will not be like that. You are going to say, Noah, how did you put up with the stink? How did you do that? How did you do it? How did you feed them? What did you do with all this? And what about the babies? And we're dying to know. Were there baby dinosaurs on board? Right? Isaiah's going to walk by? All of them. Not half of them. And you're going to say, oh my goodness. I used to attend Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. It took us 4 years to study your book. I got a degree in your book. You're going to see Adam and Eve and you're going to say, why? No, I'm kidding. But I will tell you, the Bible does say that the Lord will wipe away every tear. And yeah, people have speculated, why is this a situation in heaven? I will wipe away every tear. And in my opinion, the best explanation I've ever heard in my life was on a Wednesday night. Captivating, crazy, wild, genius, brilliant. Scientist with the gift of teaching, Chuck Missler. We wouldn't miss, Lisa and I wouldn't miss one of his studies. He'd come from his office at Western Digital. He'd come flying up in the parking lot at Costa Mesa in his Ferrari. You could hear him coming. Only guy allowed to speed through the parking lot was Chuck Missler. Slam on his brakes, get out of the car. We're all doing worship. He comes in there with this tie suit, opens up his Bible, lead you through a Bible study that leave your jaw dropping. And he said, and I'll never forget it, there's going to be a day when God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And he said, I just speculate, but I don't think it's going to be tears of, why, where's my husband? He's not here. My wife, she's not here. Oh, my son didn't make it. He said, no, I don't think so. I don't think so at all, because you'll have no recollection of your lost son or husband or mother or child or that were never saved. You won't be up there saying, where are they? Because there'll be no remembrance of them. They were never born again. You see. You won't be missing anyone who was never in the family. So he believed that the wiping away of every tear from our eyes is when God shows you and I on that day of the Bema Seat Judgment of Christ, where every believer, you, me, alone, will stand before Jesus and give an account for the opportunities that God gave us. That's what you will face. How many of you are born again? Raise your hands. You're lovers of Jesus. You will stand alone before Jesus face to face, and he's going to say, this is what I gave you in life to glorify me with. Let's see how this went. I'm going to cry. You're going to cry for all of the things that we missed, that we didn't do. We should have done, we didn't do. And I think you and I got this from Missler, I believe it's true. It may not be true, but it makes sense to me. I'm going to weep over the moments I could have glorified Jesus and I didn't. Because he's going to be so beautiful when you see him. You're going to behold the Lamb of God who took away your sin. He's going to look into your eyes and he is going to say to you, now do you see how I've loved you with an everlasting love, my friend? I washed you clean. The Holy Spirit worked so hard getting you here, sanctifying you all along the way. And now you're here. And you're here forever. And I'm going to show you eternity. It will never end. We will have adventure upon adventure, journey upon journey. We are going to see things. I want you to see things that I've kept back from the angels seeing. Because only you were created in my image. And I am going to absolutely blow your minds forever and ever. I'm so glad you're here. Zephaniah tells us that he's going to start singing. Did you know that? He's going to sing and he's going to twirl. It's a dance. God's going to dance. You say, I don't want God to dance. Well, then don't go to heaven. I'm excited. He's gonna spin. He's gonna twirl. And he's gonna sing. Listen, can you sing? I mean, I know you. I can't sing, but I can sing. If you can sing, if I can sing, why can't he sing? Can you spin around with joy? Can you woohoo? And why can't he do that? You can do it. Why can't he do it? When he sees you, he's going to do it. For that to happen, he died on the cross. He could have escaped the cross. Father, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, let this cup pass from me. Remove this cup from me, Lord. Father. What was the answer, by the way, from heaven? Silence. And Jesus says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus, the Bible says, committed no sin, became sin for us that we might receive the righteousness of God through him. That's him.